there was some sort of feuding between the Catholics and the Lutherans up on the northern end of the ridge.
This ridge?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't violent or anything, but there was some bad feeling.
It could have very well been before our time.
Yeah, and we never heard of it if there was. I won't say it couldn't have happened.
No, it could have. You ought to talk to some of those old guys around farther. I don't know whether any of them's alive yet or not, but there was a murder or two up there one time. You remember?
In that book, you remember? Ann Driscoll's.
Yeah, but I remember hearing of that talk when I was a kid of this, somebody shot the sheriff. Who? I can't remember that.
I don't know.
But I remember hearing about it. But,
I'll tell you who might be able to throw a little light on that. You might ask Marty Hill.
It'd have to be hearsay with Monty.
Well, from his dad.
Yeah.
Monty. Now, he's not too much younger than me.
No, I know he isn't, but that...
Of course, Cecil lives up there now, but Cecil was raised right down here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's not funny, I can't remember those names.
How about things like during Prohibition? Which of these towns around here, I know at one time, Bowville was a closed town and Clarkie was open. And was Troy closed or open, or Kendrick, or what?
Closed.
They were all closed?
Yeah, I know I went up to Clarkie one time, the 4th of July. I had an uncle living up there and his family. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, it was Clarkie. Yeah. And... booze was right on the table. They went in I guess you'd call it a cafe at that time. And they were playing cards and there was booze on the table. And everything was closed up down here.
Well, did the town itself vote on whether it wanted to be open or closed?
Oh no, it was state, wasn't it?
Yeah, local option, they called it.
Anyway... You see, Bogle's in Lathrop County, and Lathrop County kept a sheriff there in Bogle practically all the time, although there was a lot of whiskey floating around when the sheriff was there.
Well, that was Pat Malone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Pat.
Hey, old Pat Malone ought to give you an old earful.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever talk to Pat?
Is he still alive?
Hell yes, he's still alive. Was this summer.
Pat Malone?
Pat Malone, yeah.
He was that great big man.
No. Well, who was that? If he was a big man, who was the little guy?
Pat Moody.
That's
right. Malone was big as a horse.
Yeah, that's right.
Pat
remember
wore that big old overcoat and he always had a pint in it.
Yeah.
And he could take care of most of the whiskey there was up there. No, Pat Moody, you're thinking
Pat
of
Moody. Pat Moody.
Pat Moody. He always had the red carnation
Pat,
on.
Pat Moody.
Yeah, red yeah, carnation.
He was up there for years at Corbell, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Wasn't Pat Moody up there?
He was a sheriff for years.
Oh, he was deputy and then he got to be sheriff. See, he was deputy under John. A Summerfield and then John and then Moody.
Yeah.
No, Pat Malone's been dead several years.
Yeah, I got...
He used to come down here at the dances when they'd have a dance once while Pat would
come down here. I got two Pats mixed up.
Yeah, it's Pat Moody you're thinking about.
Yeah. You're awful nervous this afternoon.
Well, they used to here in Prohibition, you know. You could always get a bottle of whiskey. It's called local option.
Mm-hmm.
You'd get it down to the drugstore. Dad just get in there, get a bottle, I imagine a bottle of pint of whiskey would last Dad for years.
Yeah.
He'd just set the medicine shelf and when he'd want a little cough syrup, you know, a little pint of whiskey, he'd get Jimmy Durbin, whiskey.
Yeah.
And he's the one that had on the bottle, don't buy booze if your kids need shoes. You remember that, Walt?
Yeah.
Huh.
And Daddy went down here to Albert Moskoff, the drug, just a minute. He'd get a pint from Albert. He always had a little around there.
Was that made around here, or was that shipped in from somewhere?
Oh, no, that was bonded whiskey.
It bonded whiskey. It wasn't moonshine. It was bonded whiskey.
Oh, there was lots of moonshine floated into Kendrick, just where it came from, I don't know, but...
It got here, anyway.
It came in. One time you could buy it without any trouble. I'm trying to think. When the devil was it? Old Archie May went into the drugstore, got a bottle of formaldehyde, and took it across the street and put it in his buggy. In the back of his buggy, and somebody saw him, and he supposed it was whiskey. And so he went over and slipped the bottle out and took a big snort. And I'm trying, I can't think of who in the devil it was.
Going down to kill him.
Who in the hell was that? That took the snort of the formaldehyde. I'll ask Frankie someday.
He used to treat bleach, you know.
Huh?
I said he used to use it some treating wheat, you know.
Yeah.
If you got a little too much in there, it'd kill the wheat and it wouldn't germinate. Oh, yeah.
I don't imagine a guy could take more than one swallow.
One little tip.
I don't know whether he could even swallow it or not. I think if you got it in your mouth, it would
burn like fire.
Was this, you know, up further north on the ridge? And down in Troy and stuff, there was sometimes hard feeling between the Swedish people and the Norwegians. Was that a problem down in this area too?
No problem at all.
That's why they called it American Ridge down here. Never had no future troubles at all here. Everybody got along fine.
That's really remarkable, because it seems like most other places in the county had some problems.
No troubles at all. But the best neighborhood you could ever ask to be in.
Before our time, though, Bob, there was some trouble. Old Charlie Kittles, he's an honor old devil.
That's right. He's very religious, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of one that... There was a place, it would be just up South 40.
And that's the one next to the Doherty place.
Yeah. Some guy lived down there. Who was it? Was his name Hammer?
Well, there was a man by the name of Hammer that lived here, but I don't know where he lived. I remember Dad speaking of Hammer.
Well,
but I don't know where he lived at.
Hey, I think that was the place. And he and Charlie were talking, and he had to go to Moscow to prove upon his place to, you know, sign the final papers or something. I don't know just what the deal was. And Charlie convinced him there was no need for him to go, but he had to go and he'd take care of it. And he went out and he took care of it. But he wound up with the 40.
How could he do something like that?
I don't know. I just don't know, and whoever told me was in the know, and I can't remember now who in the devil it was that told me. And it said it killed the old boy. He brooded over it and...
Well, it sure didn't kill Charlie.
No, it didn't hurt Charlie a bit. There was another one that old Charlie told. Are you pulling some good ones?
I know over on Little Bear there was a guy named McComb over there, and everybody in the neighborhood kind of used to play tricks on him sometimes. I guess he was kind of a weird old sort, like he was a bachelor, and he built himself a huge, about 5 or 6 bedroom house, you know, and there was a lot of interesting things happened between him and the other people on the ridge. Were there people like that here too? Were there people, some of the early homesteaders, kind of odd sorts?
Well, I don't recall any. Do you, Buck?
What were the early homesteaders like? Why did they come out here, do you think? What would make them pick up stakes somewhere and move out here to...
The promised land.
Yeah, that's right. It's the promised land. Mm-hmm.
Most of them come here were bachelors. Homesteaded and proved up, and then if they had a family, they brought the family out a few years, or they might have met some girl and got married. But they were pretty much all of them that I remember come here in the first. There was George Doherty and John Robin, Sam Bigham, Frank May, and Martin Thomas, and all them.
Yeah.
They were all bachelors.
Was old Frank a bachelor?
When he first come here, I think he was. They were all bachelors. You see, John Roberts and Sam Bigham and George Doherty come here together.
Yeah.
I remember the threshing wheat one time down in Clarence was there, and George come out and climbed up on my truck. And I said to him, Mr. Doherty, I said, just when did you come here? He says, we come in the fall of 77. And what I remembered, it was 101 years after the Declaration of Independence. I said, who come? He says, Sam Bigham and John right up here and myself. They said, we settle right here joining each other.
Did they know each other when they came?
Oh yeah, they come together.
Mm.
They come here together, the three bachelors. And he says, we settle right here together. And he says, the reason I took this place here, it's awful steep ground. He says, I took it on account of water. And Sam, he had a spring over there where he settled.
Yeah, down. He had water.
He had water. And I don't know about John. John wasn't very far from it. And George, but maybe he had a spring up there, I don't know.
No, I don't.
But George told me, he said, that's why I settled here, was on account of the water. The water everywhere. They come here together. And then Martin, I don't know, Martin come a year or two after that, and Frank May come the next fall. He said, we were here 1 year before Frank May. Well, that wasn't exactly the way Mays had it when they had that peace.
No.
It wasn't exactly like what John or what George are, but I think George had it right.
Oh, George had it right.
There was an honester man living than George Doherty. Mm-hmm. Depending on what it said, and he said, we come the year before Frank May.
Well, Martin had some land over at Tennessee, didn't he?
That's
right.
Didn't
he have a place
over
there?
Well, he homesteaded over there. And when it was between between Genesee and Uniontown.
Then how did he sell that and buy this over here?
He sold that and come over here.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's how he come over here. And it was two or three years after George and Sam and John come, he sold his homestead. He come over and bought that land down there, and he took that on account of water.
Yeah, well, he...
Water everywhere you look there, you know.
He got oodles of water. And Doherty's got plenty of water, and Bigham's got plenty of water, but Bigham's water ran out.
Yeah.
They had to drill a well.
Yeah.
Water table was lowering.
You remember Bigham used to have water in the basement of the house, you remember?
Oh yeah, it had a pump right in the kitchen.
It had a pump right in the kitchen.
Had a pump in the kitchen,
pumped right out of the basement of the house.
Pumped right out of the basement.
The water level went down.
An old pitcher pump, I remember that.
Yeah.
What did you ever talk to Doherty or any of those folks about what it was, what the land was like and what the work was like and things? The first few years they were here, what the kind of things they did?
It was all bunch grass prairies down where they were. Mm-hmm. There's bunch grass here on the south slope, but these draws all had timber in them.
So that they didn't have to clear anything then?
Bunch grass and road brush.
That's right. Yeah.
And tell you something else that was... quite prevalent was sunflowers.
Oh yeah, the sunflowers were all over it, growing in the bunch grass.
Yeah,
your
dad told me.
It had a stalk as big as my wrist.
Yeah, your dad told me, he says it took a good team to plow through a sunflower stalk. Yeah, they're great big, heavy tufts.
Was you over there at the cemetery a year, a number of years ago when we worked that cemetery over? And you remember, I believe it was Harley, had one of these little John Deere two-cylinder crawler, green.
Yeah.
You remember that? I'll never forget that. We moved the stones all off, of course, we had a plot of the cemetery, and then big old, there were trees in that, and bushes up there 20 feet high, pulled them and hauled them down there south on the rock side hill. I remember there was a big old sunflower there, and Harley, that sunflower stuck that little tractor here. It would sit there and spin the track.
Yeah.
It had a blade on it.
Yeah.
Them things were tough. He had a little plow, he pulled a two-bottom plow, you know. But by God, he had a blade in it. He was going to bulldoze it out with that blade. And he just sat and spin his track. Well, them old sunflowers were tough. Yeah, they were all over the south slopes in the bunchgrass, sod. The prairie.
Was there a lot of sod? Did they have to break and turn the sod when they first started?
Sod?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think bunchgrass was very soddy.
No.
It's just what it says, it's bunchgrass. You know, it don't
just a bunch here and a bunch there,
like,
you know.
Bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
Rows and bunches.
But not so far apart.
Yeah, they, I don't know what they use, three horses on a rake and plow, I guess.
Three horses and a foot burner.
I don't know how big the plow was, probably 14 inch.
I think it was 14 inch.
Yeah.
I know Dad said that he broke all this place up except about 10 acres.
Yeah.
With three Indian cayuses, he used to go down, Indian cayuses, and Indians again for $10 a piece.
Yeah.
Broke it up with a foot burner and three cayuses. Quite a bit.
Yeah, your dad broke up most of this place, or I don't know. Yeah, I think he did. I think he broke this up too, didn't he? How did Gear have this before Frank Roberts got it?
Well, Granddad bought it from Tom Greer.
Oh, he bought it from Tom Greer.
Yeah, Gear, you see, proved up on it.
Oh, well.
And then he left here, and Granddad bought him out.
Well, Gear built the barn.
Yes.
Because Frank told me that.
Well, Gear built the barn.
Well, this place must have been broke up then.
It must have been, but I know that up there, Dad broke it all about 10 acres. But Tom Greer,